We're turning then this evening to a passage in Galatians that we've just read, Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. And really as a theme to cover this passage, we need go no further than the first verse. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You know, it's a glorious truth that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are set free. You know, sometimes people have the view and the opinion that Christians are a poor lot to be pitied. They seem to put themselves into a life of misery and of difficulties, but it's far from the truth. And if we're those who know the Lord Jesus, then we should be proclaiming that we have been set free. It's a glorious liberty that we have. It's a freedom that we want others to know. And far from us feeling that the Christian life is a life of drudgery and a life of burden and a life of bondage, it certainly isn't. And we feel for those who have not come yet to know Christ, because they are the ones under bondage. They think they are free. But oh, they are governed, aren't they, by a will of Satan and of darkness and of sin. A will that is free, but it chooses to sin, is no freedom to be envied. And here's the Apostle Paul. He comes to this passage. He spent quite some time speaking about something of this, the doctrinal subject here of us being free from the bondage of the law. And we've seen that in these earlier passages. And he comes really out of this passage in more of a practical way of putting it into practice. Having heard of all these doctrines and the truths of these things, then he wants to then unfold, well, how does this affect us? And how should we view these things? And this is what he's saying. We're to stand fast in these things. And so we need to just remind ourselves of what this liberty is that is being set before us. We say that we are free, that we have a liberty. What is it? Well, we read that passage earlier in Romans 6, because there in that passage we find that we're told, aren't we, first of all, that we are free from sin. Romans 6 and verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know, until we come to know the Lord Jesus and until we've been set free, we are in bondage to sin. It's that rules our nature. Every decision that is made until we've been set free by Christ is one that's governed by selfishness, by a sinful heart. It doesn't mean that everything that an unbeliever does is filled with wickedness, but that's the root of the heart of an unbeliever. There's a governing force in their lives, and it's sin. And here's the apostle telling us that when we come to know Christ, we are freed from sin. Doesn't mean that we're sinless. And we know the Apostle Paul himself talked about the battle. There's a battle against indwelling sin. There's a battle against the old nature and the old man. We shan't know perfect sinlessness in this life. But we're freed from that the chains of sin, those things that bound us to sin. We ought not any longer to be those that live in sin. But we've been set free from that. Before we were powerless, unable to free ourselves. But now the Lord it is who set us free. And there's an aspect of that freedom that we have. In Romans 8 and verse 2, the apostle there speaks of another aspect of this freedom that we have. He says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. He said, the scriptures say that the wages of sin is death. That's the natural consequence of sin. We see that in the world around us. Nobody can deny the fact this world is full of the effects of sin. The consequences of sin. The scriptures tell us that wasn't so right at the beginning. When God created the world, it was perfect. Until sin entered, and by sin, death, the penalty for sin. Corruption. And all these things have been entered. One day the Lord will put these things right. But here, the apostle speaks of us coming now to know that we've been set free from the law of sin and death. No longer, if we're those who have come to faith in Christ, do we anticipate that consequence of the sin that's our own, because Christ has taken it away. There will be no eternal death. There's a prospect of eternal life. We're set free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off. My heart was free. These are the aspects of this great freedom that we have, this liberty that we have. And so as we come to Galatians itself, the Apostle Paul taking some of these themes further. Galatians in chapter 3, we saw earlier on in our series, in verse 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. See, he has set us free from the curse of the law, that which is our just desert because we've broken God's law. Each one of us, not just are we born as sinners, but we are guilty sinners. We've committed sin. We've broken God's law. And the wages of those sin is death. It's not just that death is in the world because Adam sinned, but we ourselves are sinners. We ourselves deserve that judgment. But we have been redeemed. Christ has bought us, purchased us, redeemed from the curse of the law. It has no longer any hold of us. We're set free from that. And then, of course, in the more recent verses we've been looking at, the Apostle Paul there in Galatians chapter 4, in the previous chapter, has been speaking of us being freed from the bondage of the law itself. And so we saw that in Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 5. He came, in verse 4, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And we saw then, didn't we, that the Lord it is who has rescued us from seeking to live a life in perfect obedience to a law that we could never achieve. He's redeemed us from that bondage. He's set us free. He's adopted us into his family, given us his righteousness. We are his people, redeemed from that. And then again, further on in verse 9, he says, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, it's God's work, he it is who has rescued us, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. So there he was saying again, what has happened? We've been freed from that bondage to the law. That idea that we can earn merit, that we can earn our salvation, that somehow we can enter into heaven because we've lived a good enough life, the Apostle Paul says, impossible. There's a bondage to the law that you will fail miserably at. We've been freed from that. Why would you want to return to that? And that's been something of his theme here as he spoke to those who wanted to again entrap, as it were, the believers into thinking that they have to continue in some of these Old Testament rituals and ceremonies in order to please God, to add to our salvation. And here is the Apostle Paul saying, no, Christ has done it. He set us free. We're freed from the bondage to the law. And so the Apostle Paul then, there's something of that liberty that he's been speaking about. So he comes now to this passage and he says here now, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. So we need to look at firstly then, what is the nature of this liberty? If it's something that we can stand fast in, what is the Apostle Paul meaning? We've had the doctrine. We've had the teaching, we've had the fact that Christ has redeemed us, that he's purchased us, that he's rescued us, but what is the practical working of that? How can we stand fast in that? What is the nature of this liberty if the Apostle Paul says that it's something that we're to stand fast in? Well, negatively, firstly, the Apostle Paul says it's not a license to sin. The liberty that we have isn't a freedom then to live as we want. It's not being set free from what God requires of holiness, of God's holy standard. You notice how he says that here in this passage, verse 13 of Galatians 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. See, this liberty that we have, people could view it then, oh, well, I'm set free from the law, I can live as I want. It's not an occasion to the flesh to live as we want, to sin as we want. The passage that we read earlier in Romans in chapter 6, he spoke about that there, didn't he? Because I speak of this subject similarly in verse 14. He says there, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. See, we've been set free. But what's the nature of this? He says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? And the Apostle was horrified. God forbid. He says it elsewhere, doesn't he? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He's horrified at the thought, we've not been set free to sin. So there's the negative aspect of the nature of this liberty. It's not a freedom from living a righteous life. It doesn't mean that we can then live as we please and sin as we please because we've been set free and rescued. Oh no, that's not the nature of this liberty. It's a freedom to serve. And that seems a strange thing to say, but that is what the Apostle Paul is saying in Galatians 5. Notice again in verse 13. He says, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So there's an aspect of this freedom that we have gained, this being set free, the liberty that we have, that now frees us to serve one another. It frees us to keep God's law, those demands of God's law that before we could not keep. We were incapable of keeping. As those who were under bondage to sin and our own desires and the selfish, sinful desires of our hearts, there was no way that we could keep God's law, no way that we really served one another. Oh yes, many people will do good things for one another, but at the heart of it, God says, there's a selfishness, there's a pride, there's a seeking to please God that is born out of heart of sin. And all our righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags in His sight. But now, being set free, being rescued by Christ, this great liberty that we have now frees us to genuinely serve and to keep the commandments of God. And to be those who will genuinely be those that would serve one another. Goes on to say as well in this passage that this is a service, this is a freedom of obedience. Notice he says that in verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? You see, coming to know Christ, coming to hear the gospel, to know the demands of the gospel, there's an obedience that's required. We're to obey the truth. The gospel message is the truth. It's the truth that we are sinners, that we need a saviour, that we are guilty before God. We need to be made righteous. We need to come to Christ for cleansing, but then we need to be those who will obey His demands, obey His word, His commandments, obey the law of God. Are we those then who realise that we have been set free now, more able to serve Him, more able to be obedient to Him, to obey the truth, and to serve one another, to fulfil the demands of the law. See, here's something of this nature, of this liberty that we have. And so the Apostle Paul here, as he says, far from being a license, a liberty to sin, to do as we want, it truly frees us to live as we ought to serve God, to serve one another, to love one another. And so here's this that he has set before us. Are we those then who, having come to know Christ, having come to know the truth of the gospel message, having come to put faith in Christ, that we then are obedient to the truth? We live by faith. We seek to serve the Lord Jesus in those ways. We are those who forsake sin, that we do indeed do battle against sin, that we have been converted, turned about, that we have genuinely repented of our sin. How can it be a genuine repentance if we still entertain sin and we still think it's acceptable and we still think we can live as we wish? Surely, having repented of sin, having been converted and turned about, having had our hearts change and those hearts of stone taken, and now being given a genuine love for the Lord Jesus, surely that should result in a desire to live for Him, to be obedient to Him, and to serve Him. And we've been free to do so. We are now able to do so. Being infilled by the Spirit of God, we now have the power to please the Lord by our obedience to His commands. And so there's something of that nature of this liberty, something of the practical aspects. And so he says there, stand fast therefore. Stand fast in this liberty. He says, see what it is that you've been set free. See what the Christian life is meant to be like, and stand fast in those things. But then secondly, in this passage, the Apostle Paul also is encouraging us to have a right view of his liberty that is honouring to the Lord. He speaks in this passage at great length about how it is Christ's work. And to have a wrong view of this liberty and to indulge ourselves in thinking that we can live as we want or that we can return to some servitude to the ceremonial law or to please God by a bondage to the law. He says that detracts from the glory of Christ. And you notice what he says down through this passage. He says a number of occasions, drawing our attention to it being Christ's work. And to have a right view of this liberty and to see how it is that we're to stand fast in it is something that sets before our mind's eye and it honours God concerning the work of Christ, what he has done. And so right there at the beginning, verse 1, he says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." See, it's Christ's work. It's not our own decision. We don't make a decision for Christ. It's not because we have done something. It's what Christ has done for us. It's what God has done. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in setting us free. If Christ has set us free, then this is a liberty that we're to embrace and to use to God's glory to demonstrate what he has done in our hearts, in our lives. How we are then set free to live lives that are pleasing in his sight because it's what he has done. Christians aren't a people who have turned over a new leaf and have made a better effort than other people. Christians aren't a people who have just out of some sort of mystical idea, have now elevated themselves to some righteousness. A Christian is somebody who's changed by Christ, who's met Christ, met the Saviour, the living Saviour, known him. Hear that prayer of contrition, prayer of repentance, saved us. And so it's Christ who has made us free. He's set us free. And so we're to be those then who seek to serve him, to elevate our Saviour before the world. Christ has set us free. Further, he says in verse 3 of this passage here. Verse 4. "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, for ye have fallen from grace." It's the Apostle Paul saying there. It is for those who have come to faith in Christ, we've received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of grace, isn't it? We haven't deserved it. It's of his gracious dealings with us. It's by his mercy that he saves us. Now he says, if you seek to be justified by the law and return to an old way of trying to earn merit in God's sight, seeking to earn salvation or add to it by your obedience to the law, then Christ has become of no effect to you. You've detracted from what Christ has done. You see, you've received the grace of Christ. And Christ it is who is to be elevated. We're to rejoice that it's through his goodness to us and his mercy to us that we have been saved, that we are new creatures. And if somebody sees a Christian living in a certain way that they're puzzled by, says, "How is it that you manage to live like that? And how is it that you seem to have that trust in your trials and in the circumstances of your life?" Do you take the merit, the praise to yourself? Or do you say, the opportunity to say, it's through Christ. It's what he has done for me. It's through his grace to me. His goodness to me. See, we've received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, of course, we've received his righteousness. And it says that there, isn't it, in verse 4. "For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." When we seek to live honestly before the Lord and faithfully before the Lord and obediently before the Lord, it's still not our own righteousness. We're speaking of what Christ has done for us. We're speaking of his righteousness put to our account. And so you see how the apostle is horrified at the thought that some people should think that we've been set free to live as we want, to live even sinful lives, to live lives that are ignorant of the law of God. He said it shouldn't be so because Christ has set us free to serve him, but he set us free that he might give us his righteousness. His righteousness put to our account. We are to be righteous, but oh, we can take no credit and no merit to ourselves. the righteousness of Christ, we have that hope of righteousness by faith. It's by faith in Christ. We don't earn it, you see. We're not earning it. We're not living lives that can somehow cause the Lord to give us a bit more righteousness because we've done something to earn it and deserve it. It's what Christ has done for us. His righteousness is the liberty that we've been set free from. We've been set free from the bondage, the yoke of bondage to the law, and set free that we might know these things that Christ has done for us. Of course, he says there, doesn't he, verse 5, that is this life of faith. That we know Christ by faith. That it's by faith that we live. It's by faith that we've believed in Christ. We believe his promises. And when Jesus says, you know, many people want to see a sign, want to see a miracle before they believe. But Jesus says, no, you have to simply believe by faith, trusting in him. And so it is that this Christian life, this new life where we've been set free, it's a life of faith. Where we trust in the Lord, we believe his promises. We don't live by sight, but by faith. And so by that he means that we're not living in our own wisdom, seeking to live our lives as we want. But we've been now set free that we might, by faith, live. That we might put our trust in Christ for all our needs, for our daily needs, for everything that we have need of. We were hearing this morning, weren't we, something of that as well. That trusting in Christ, that he knows best. He knows every circumstance. He knows what he puts us through, what he plans to put us through. He knows that he's testing us that we might lay hold upon him by faith and not fear. You see, these are the things that is part of this liberty that we've now received. We're to stand fast in this liberty. We've been set free for this. See, before we came to know Christ, none of these things applied to us, did they? We had not any knowledge of Christ or of his righteousness, no faith in him, no belief in him being our God who is gracious to us, but now having come to him, we've received his grace, we've met Christ, we've received his righteousness, we've laid hold upon him by faith. And these are all parts of this standing fast in the liberty. And then, of course, we must never move on from talking about Christ without reminding ourselves of the love that we know of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, he says, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You see, this faith that we have in the Lord Jesus, even that is not something that we've conjured up. It's because he first loved us. Because he set his love upon us. Because he it is who's drawn us unto himself. He it is who's opened our eyes to lay hold upon him, to acknowledge our need of him. And there is that great hope that we have of knowing the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. Knowing that we've known him by faith, and that itself was also the work of a loving God. Sent his Son into this world to die for us. And then cause us to turn about and to see Christ. To see our need of him. To see that he came in love for us. And then to embrace him in love. See here. Here's what the Lord has done because he loved us. He set us free. Freed from the bondage of the law. Freed from sin. Freed from the curse of sin. Freed from the law of sin and death. Set us free. To lay hold upon him by faith. To receive his grace. To receive that righteousness that is his, to know his love set upon us. See, these are the things that the Apostle Paul wants us to grasp and understand as we live out our Christian lives and seek then to be those who live for him. But then thirdly, there's another aspect here to this nature of this liberty that the Apostle Paul sets before us here. Because he says, as we've really touched on before, but he says in a glorious way, this liberty that we've now experienced, being set free from the bondage to the law, set free to serve one another and to serve Christ, set free to obey the truth, to obey all the holy demands, it's that perfectly fulfills the law of God. So he says that in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. You see, he's been saying in the verse before, we've been looking at verse 13, we've been called unto liberty, not a license, not a freedom to live as we want, but by love to serve one another. For, he says, all the law is fulfilled in this one word. So you see what he's saying here? He says, we've been set free that we might fulfill the law, that we might keep the law. We've been set free from the bondage of the law, that which we could never have fulfilled. We've been set free to perfectly fulfill the law, completely fulfill the law. Now the amazing thing is, when we read the gospel message here, is that Christ kept the law for us. The demands of the law are holy demands. It's that that has found us guilty because we failed. And so Christ has come to keep the law in all its detail, to perfectly keep it, to fulfill that which we fail to do, and then to give us his righteousness. But that demand that we should live holy lives, it still applies to us. This freedom that we've been set free to now is that we may now ourselves fulfill the law. Because all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And here's Apostle Paul saying that's what we've been set free to do, to keep the law of God. And of course, we remind, aren't we, there, the Apostle Paul is quoting part of what the Lord Jesus said. But the Lord Jesus said, isn't it, that the commandments are divided into the two. Firstly, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second commandment, like to it, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Now, for those who've come to love the Lord Jesus, we're to love him perfectly. That first part, in a sense, all believers should know, a love for Christ, because he's revealed his love to us. We should know that that's a requirement upon us, to love the Lord Jesus. And we do. We see him there upon the cross. We see him dying in our place. We see him taking our punishment and our penalty. And surely the response of a genuine believer is one of love. We love him because he first loved us. But that love is to be fostered. Is to grow. Is to be built upon. But we must not forget the second table of the law: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. We've been set free to do that as well. You see, the amazing thing, that Christ has kept the law perfectly so that we are justified in the sight of God. It's as though his righteousness entirely, his perfect obedience, is put to our account. And yet the Lord in his mercy says, we are set free now that we also might perfectly keep the law. Not that it adds to our salvation, not that it adds to our merit, but that's what he's called us to do. We've been called to do that. We've been set free to do that, to be like Christ. And as we saw earlier, when we were looking at the passage in chapter 4, we spoke about the adoption that we received, the adoption of sons, adopting his family. There's now that family bond. There's now that crying out of Abba, Father. We know God as a heavenly Father. And so that family nature that is now implanted in the believer, it should come out in our obedience to the Lord. Just as Christ kept the law perfectly, so we are to keep the law, sadly, imperfectly. But still, that's what we're set free to do, to love the Lord our God. Before, we could never do that. Nobody, until they've had the Holy Spirit dwell within them and give them a new heart, can truly love God. Nobody can truly, honestly, genuinely love their neighbours as themselves until Christ has done this work in their hearts. And if we're those who've been set free by the Lord Jesus, we've been set free to serve God, serve one another, to love one another. And it's amazing, a lovely, glorious thing to think that Christ, as the elder brother, as the one who's gone on ahead, the one who's perfectly kept the law, says, now do as I've done. Follow in my footsteps. Live as the Lord would have you to live. Not live as you want. Live as he lived. The Lord Jesus came into this world and he lived this life in this world. Yes, to live that life of obedience, but also as a pattern that his people might then see how it is that we are to live as well. And we are set free to live in that way. So we're to stand fast in these things and to acknowledge then that if we will be genuine faithful believers were to stand fast in this liberty, honouring Christ, giving Christ the glory, living like him, living for him, living to him. And then finally, I want us then, having seen something of this liberty that we've been set free to, something of the nature of how it is that the Lord expects us to live, to just remind ourselves that this is not an irksome, difficult, burdensome calling that we have. Notice how the apostle here, he's been setting the great contrast here, that we've been set free, that we are in liberty, to stand in liberty, and the alternative to that is a bondage. Now to the unbeliever, to hear that we're to live in obedience to the law sounds like a bondage. But you see, when we've been set free to serve, it's no longer a bondage. It's no longer tiresome. It's no longer something that's irksome to a believer. It's something that a believer delights to do. Something that a believer wants to do, to live a holy life. And of course, you remember what the Lord Jesus himself said, as he, those lovely words we often love to quote, and where he said, "Come unto me," Matthew chapter 11, "all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But do we remember what the remaining verses are there that he says? "Take my yoke upon you." Like the oxen with a yoke bound, and there it is in the furrow, which has a particular task to do. And here's the Lord saying, now this is the consequence of coming to know him. We come to him for rest, set free, the liberty, the freedom, all the glorious freedoms that we've been speaking of. But then, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." But he says what sort of a yoke it is. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, to a true believer, having been set free by Christ and knowing this forgiveness of sins, and knowing that no longer does the law have that fear for us, because we've been set free by Christ, now as we serve him, now as we take this yoke, as it were, take this burden, this calling that we've been called to, we find it's easy and the burden is light. Do we find that? We should do, because that's what Christ says. He says his burden is easy and light. And we should find then that it's a delight to us to serve the Lord and to be obedient to him. Yes, there's a battle. Yes, Paul speaks about that, doesn't he? And the old nature. Yes, the Satan goes around as a lion seeking whom he may devour. Yes, we're to put on the whole armour of God. And yet the Lord says, in spite of it being a battle, in spite of it being that fighting of the old nature, he says, "My burden is easy and it's light." Why is that? Because it is the Lord who's fought the battle. It is who's set us free. It is who's taken us from that miry clay and set our feet upon the dry ground and set us onward. It is who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. It is that we turn to for strength, turn to for help. It is that we to lay hold on by faith, to live by faith. And so, as he says then, that we're to take his yoke upon us. And of course, in our series that we looked at relatively recently in the first epistle of John, we look at those. Remember what it was that the apostle there says to us of keeping the commandments of God. 1 John and chapter 5 there, in verses 2 and 3. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." See, it's a mark of a believer that we love God. And because we love God, we love his commandments, we love his word, and we keep his commandments, and we want to keep them. And it saddens us when we fail. It grieves us when we grieve the Holy Spirit. But his commandments are not grievous. And we have one who we can turn to. We have a great high priest. We have one who says that when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And we can turn to him again and know that if we come to him in faith and he shed his blood for us, that he's washed away our sins and he will receive us again. And though we stumble and fall, we shan't completely be lost. He will raise us up. He will lift us up again when we call upon him. He'll set our feet upon that dry ground again and set us looking onward, turn us about when we've wandered, come and rescue us if we're the sheep that's wandered from the fold. All those lovely promises that the Lord has of keeping His and never losing them. But oh, let us take this appeal of the Apostle Paul into heart here, that we stand fast in the liberty. Not standing fast in license, but standing firm for the Lord. Standing fast for the name of Christ, to be like Christ, to serve Him and to love Him, that others also may come to know Him. And if you've not come to Him, then come to Him now. You can't live in your own righteousness. It's impossible. It's a bondage. You don't realize you're in bondage, but you are. And you need to be set free. Christ it is who sets us free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. That's true freedom, being set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and Amen.